Here's a recent headline from the Wisconsin State Journal. With Democrats in charge, teacher pay cap could bite the dust. The story was on Governor Doyle's repeated efforts to repeal the controversial law that caps teachers' salaries in Wisconsin, and how those efforts stand a better chance now with Democrats in control of the state assembly as well as the state senate. Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 10 past 6 on this Thursday, December the 4th. We will talk about the new attempt to drop the QEO, or qualified economic offer, which ends up limiting teachers' salaries in Wisconsin, and what critics and advocates are saying this would mean, how it might affect the cost and quality of public education in the state. We will welcome your questions and your views for our guest analyst. Steve Correa is an associate professor of teacher education at St. Norbert College and someone that we call on frequently to explain policies affecting education. He joins us by telephone. Good morning.
Good morning.
So try to put the QEO in terms that we can all understand and agree on.
And that's true. This can be very confusing to try to make sense out of all these different ways we do financing and pay for our schools in Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm.
Really, the QEO, it's really almost a history lesson, is a nice way to start briefly. I'd say it dates back to the 1980s, and it's really a part of this Republican idea we had back, that's capital R, with the Republican Party, and it was the idea to limit the power and control of teachers' unions and teacher pay increases. So if our current president will have a legacy of No Child Left Behind affecting education, this is sort of one that's born of the Republican Reagan ideas of the 1980s.
Yeah,
the idea was really rather simple.
Yeah.
The idea was to limit total teacher compensation. They settled on 3.8%. They said that in return, the state of Wisconsin will be responsible for paying two-thirds of local expenses for schools, and then a feature called revenue caps, which limited the amount of money that local districts were allowed to charge local taxpayers, primarily through property taxes.
Mm-hmm.
So we sort of have a three-pronged approach to limit and control and then to predict teacher compensation and school district expenses. So the QEO is one of those three-pronged aspects of this idea to control spending at local school districts in the state of Wisconsin.
And it says that if school districts offer at least 3.8% in terms of a salary or pay increase for teachers, then school districts could avoid what could be costly contract arbitration?
And certainly, we have not had a teacher strike in the state of Wisconsin, mainly because you can't do that,
mm-hmm.
at least something that appears to be a legal strike, of course, in all of this time, because teachers have had to accept this 3.8% package if they could not settle on another offer. Now, some districts actually have exceeded that 3.8%.
Mm-hmm.
That was done much earlier in the process than it has been lately. And so the idea is that, though, with combining the package of benefits that teachers would get, teachers usually get a step increase or a small pay increase every year just due to longevity. So this was over and above that package that they would normally get, and then you factor in health care benefits or, you know, if somebody's so lucky to have dental, great for them. And then the idea is, though, that the limit on that would be 3.8%, and districts could then predict what their expenses would be in the coming years. And no arbitration, no local WEAC representative coming in and bargaining, and it has really just taken the tension out of local politics, local districts dealing with this. But it has pushed it up into the state level because WEAC has been very active for 15-plus years and attempting at the state level to get that QEO and this package repealed to be able to, they argue, unleash market forces and allow teachers to negotiate for what they feel like they can achieve and local bargaining.
Well, you know, a lot of people would say, hey, you know, I wouldn't mind a 3.8% pay increase each year. Why is this a problem?
Well, it's a problem in a couple ways, I think the argument would go. One, teachers are one of very few select group of government workers that have had that opportunity to be able to bargain removed from them. So we have a specific class, and there are a few others in the state that are not able to do that. So I think that's particularly grating to teachers to be able to do that. Some people argue, although this one might be a little bit more tricky, that because we're not paying more money, we're actually not getting the teachers into the field. That we can discuss later. That one, maybe yes, maybe no. Depends on the field. But the idea would be that teachers do receive very generous health care benefits. I used to be a public school teacher, so I appreciated that. Now that I'm not in the public sector, I teach at a private school, I realize how wonderfully generous that was. Nobody can argue that. But teachers feel that they have paid their dues, and they really want to be able to see... That was also with WEAC, of course. But they want to be able to have some kind of a chance to be able to bargain for more of what they can get.
Let me take a weather break. We are talking about the effort to repeal the QEO in Wisconsin, the law that essentially limits teacher salary increases. What are the pros and cons of doing this? And do you think it should stay or go? The law, that is. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. You're tuned to the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. 17 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Thursday, December the 4th. Coming up later today, as consumers struggle to pay for food and other household items, many are attracted to store brand labels rather than national brand name products. Coming up after 5, Ben Marin and his guest will talk about why consumers are reconsidering private label brands in tough economic times. That's later today after 5 on At Issue. We are talking about the effort to repeal the QEO in Wisconsin, the law that limits teacher pay in the state. Wondering if you have any questions or opinions on this, 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Our guest is Steve Correa, Associate Professor of Teacher Education at St. Norbert College. And let me take our first caller, Keith in Green Bay. Hi, Keith, you're on the air.
Good morning, Joy. I have 3 points to make. First off, I think it should be repealed, and I do believe that it is unfair that the public school teachers are one of the only state employees who have had this QEO imposed upon them, and it has created teacher hardships. I am a public school teacher, and I know that over half of the years that the QEO has been in effect, I actually end up making less money. So like Joy said, well, I'd love to have a 3.8% pay increase. Well, I would too, but it's not pay increase, it's a total package. And so you look at all of the benefits and everything go up 3.8%. And we know in the last few years, healthcare has skyrocketed. We've made concessions in healthcare big time. We've dropped certain aspects of our healthcare. We have upped the deductible. We have gone to something called silos or PPOs or HMOs or all those kinds of things. We've made huge concessions in that area, but yet the amount that our health care is going up just eats up more than what we would have gotten as a pay increase, and I actually take a pay cut year after year after year, and that's very frustrating as a dedicated educator.
Keith, let me jump in just because I want to first explain that I didn't say I personally would love a 3.8% increase each year. I'm saying that a lot of people might look at that and say, what's so wrong with that? And you just explained you're not necessarily getting 3.8% in a pay increase. That's the total pay and benefits, that the benefits are there, and sometimes you're not making that kind of money every year.
That's correct.
Yeah. All right. What else? You said that's a hardship, and no other state employee has to have that kind of limit or cap. Did you say you had a third point?
It escapes me right now, but thank you.
Yeah.
Those are some key points, yes.
Professor Correa?
Well, and certainly this was, I would argue that the architects of the QEO would look at this and say, exactly. Now, I'm not everybody might not agree with that, but the idea would be they would say, yes, your total compensation has increased. Now, and that this would be a rationale or a reason why, with health care costs increasing, districts only have a finite amount of money, and so the design of the QEO was intended to limit total compensation. So this probably didn't, though, take into account the really rapidly increasing health care costs that go on. So when you factor all these in, yes, accounting for inflation, teacher salaries actually have not kept pace during this 15-year QEO period. And that is especially frustrating for a selected group of teachers, or at least state employees, who are not then able to see, you know, real come-home dollars increase and then their spending capacity be able to match that. Certainly, though, the caller is right that, you know, this has been one of those issues that teachers have been able to look at and say, wow, that's it. I'm not actually increasing my pay. And, of course, a supporter of the QEO would say, you have an almost 4% increase from this year to last. Be happy. And it's allowed for stability. So I think it's one of those situations where, you know, supporters and detractors would look at it and both agree and not agree with the cause of it.
Yeah. So Governor Doyle has tried two or three times already to get this law repealed. He says he's going to ask the legislature again in this next session to repeal it again. He might have a better chance because now the assembly is controlled by Democrats. Is that right?
Yeah, boy, you know, it's hard to believe, but it has been almost a quarter of a century since the Democrats have controlled the assembly, the Senate, and the governor's office. And so WEAC, to their credit, now this is where you should probably have a political scientist help here, they have played by the rules. They have sat on the sidelines. They have attempted to be able to influence statewide elections. And finally, after 15 years plus of very hard work, they have now the political power in place, and they hope the leverage to be able to expect a payoff for their multi-million dollar investments in candidates and political issues to be able to get that QEO imposed. And many Senate Republicans have been quoted in the paper as saying they know they do not have the votes to be able to stop the repeal of the QEO.
Right. Now, besides WEAC wanting this to be repealed, why do Governor Doyle and the Democrats support the repeal of the QEO?
Well, I think one of the reasons that they support this, I don't know if it's all of them, but one of the reasons that they support this is, and again, we can't simplify this too much, WEAC has been a strong, sustained supporter of Democratic candidates. So this is, as we all know, this is the way politics work. This group has been loyal and supportive, and therefore then they expect to be able to have a payout. Also, there is the idea that perhaps we should unleash market forces, and this might make, now it's interesting that the Democrats are proposing this because this is actually a good old-fashioned Rockefeller Republican idea. We will unleash market forces to cause local districts to be creative in how they approach funding. And that's kind of an interesting idea. Now, the problem with that is you're still limiting. We have to remember the other two prongs of this system. We're still limiting with revenue caps what local districts can raise, and then we're still expecting the state to be able to pick up two-thirds of local costs.
Yeah, and when you say revenue caps, I always get confused. We're actually saying, I think of them as spending caps, that the school district can only spend so much before going to taxpayers to get more money.
Right, and I think it's just sort of, you know, it's sort of looking which way. Are you looking at the money coming in or the money coming out? Theoretically, if districts have what they like to call the rainy day fund, they can drop into that rainy day fund as much as they want to. NINA has one that they have gotten into quite a few times lately. But that would be spending caps. And we don't really have spending caps per se. We have revenue caps. So during a fiscal year, they're only allowed to raise X amount with this formula from local taxes. So if they then have another account that they can go to, they can pull from that.
Yeah.
But one of the problems is going to be that if you allow the teacher increase salaries to increase, you've got two other finite limitations on resources, and now you have a third one, though, that theoretically could be unlimited. You really have a stool that's very tough to sit on.
Yeah, and the Republicans are saying we can't repeal this QEO. It's going to result in property taxes going up around the state.
Well, because that is the primary system which we fund. Mm-hmm. Now, here again, we need an economist. But that's part of the problem is that, you know, if we're going to unleash demand, and we could say that this is pent-up demand, then where is this money going to come from? Resources are finite by definition, so this has got to be paid somewhere. Now, theoretically, in the next 12 months, we don't necessarily see an increase in state aids. We still could keep the two-thirds revenue, or at least the two-thirds funding from the state of Wisconsin. But this, you know, we had 7-8% raises going on before the QEO, and this is going to severely hamper what local districts can do. They'll have to make some very tough choices if this would be repealed, and arbitration or other more conventional options for bargaining would reappear.
Yeah. I was reading that some are concerned that some of these creative ways for school districts to make ends meet, it could mean, you know, dumping programs, increasing class sizes. Is that possible?
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. I don't know if perhaps some of the listeners saw, there was a recent story about a middle school teacher in San Diego who's selling advertising space on his tests and quizzes. And
no, I haven't really. Oh,
he
God.
Was able to raise over $500. Mm-hmm. And he just said that just replaces his out-of-pocket expenses that he raises every day. But I thought that was very creative. There's some ethical issues, but we'll deal with those later. But certainly we might see increases in, okay, you want to be in band, you want to be in strings, you want to be in basketball, whatever the case. You know, if it's 100, it might be 200. And the Green Bay Press-Gazette just this morning released an editorial that this needs to be looked at, and that just to remove the QEO without all of this being considered and models being run and expenses would be very irresponsible to local school boards, because they don't know what to expect and they wouldn't know how to budget and deal with this.
We will talk more about the implications of possibly lifting the QEO in Wisconsin, what would result if the state legislature repeals the law that ends up limiting teacher pay in Wisconsin. It very well might do that next year, now that Democrats control the state assembly. Who wants this? Who doesn't? What does it mean for taxpayers? What does it mean for the quality of a public school education? We will welcome your questions for our guest, St. Norbert College Associate Professor of Education, Steve Correa. 1-800-642-1234, toll-free from anywhere, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. I'm Joy Cardine. We'll check news from National Public Radio and Wisconsin Public Radio, and then we'll be back. This is the Ideas Network. Wisconsin's pay cap for teachers could get lifted by the new state legislature. And other school funding issues could see some changes, too. We are talking about the possible changes and what it would mean for teachers, taxpayers, parents, and children, and welcoming your questions and views. Should the state legislature finally give Governor Doyle his way and repeal the QEO, the Qualified Economic Offer that limits teacher pay in Wisconsin? 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. The governor says for the past 15 years or so, the state has been locked into this system that no one is happy with: depressed teachers' salaries and rising benefit costs. After three attempts to repeal this law, the governor will likely have more luck with a democratically controlled assembly next year. We are talking about the implications and consequences of lifting the QEO, wondering if you think this should happen or not. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 6:37 on this, what day is it today? It's Thursday, December the 4th. Our guest is Steve Correa, Associate Professor of Teacher Education at St. Norbert College. And our next caller is Stephanie in Mineral Point. Hi, Stephanie. You're on the air.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call. My question for the caller is, I don't disagree that teacher salaries are depressed, but what I wonder about or what I see as an issue in the schools in the area where I live is, and what's killing us from a financial perspective, is the retirement plan, the defined retirement plan, and then health care benefits for retirees as well. That's becoming such a large portion of the expense for the school district. And so I believe that the compensation package, the overall compensation package for teachers, is really very outdated and needs to be overhauled. And I'm wondering about the likelihood of that, and if your guest could comment on that, and then also talk a little bit about the defined retirement plan.
All right. Professor Correa?
Well, a touch outside of some of my areas of expertise, but certainly retirement issues and economics and how those decisions were determined years ago when those retirement plans were determined, and then the economic realities present, that's not unique to teacher education. We're looking at the big three, they're all dealing with the UAW and those retirement benefits and the health care benefits, and they throw around these large numbers per car that health care benefits are costing. So I think first it's important to see that this isn't just unique to education. This is in lots and lots of areas where there's been strong collective bargaining. And this is not in any way to fault the collective bargainers. They negotiated with what they could get. We're also seeing, though, the result of that in teacher education, that these were options and these were things that were offered. So they simply negotiated those fair, legally, honestly, and they're doing what they should. But those do put, especially when you factor in those health care costs, these escalating pay raises that go in. Even though those people are retired and then theoretically not contributing day-to-day to, you know, defray operating expenses, per se, on the local district. I had an aunt that retired who actually made more in retirement than she did her last year teaching.
Yeah, I've heard of that.
Yeah. Well, she stopped teaching in 1966 and lived to 2005, so mm-hmm. That could account for that. But certainly, there are districts that are wrestling very hard with that. There are also districts, though, that have had these very impressive and, frankly, misguided compensation packages for a lot of administrators that have been able to retire early and then buy extra years. The district will pay that for them. So certainly I think those more generous type of ideas are not going to go. Those have to go. That's something that just can't stay there.
Looking back a little bit more, Professor Correa, when the QEO was first put in place, I know that the Republicans in control during that time were citing the rising costs of education and the property taxes that were going up, and also showing that Wisconsin school teacher salaries, if I recall correctly, were also going up every year, and some were saying, hey, that we've got to put some limits on this. The teacher salaries were soaring, they said, and in fact, we're, among the highest in the country at that time. Isn't that right?
Well, and I think it is. There were a whole host of ideas that were presented under Governor Thompson to be able to control what they saw as spiraling, other people might just describe it as increasing costs of public education. You might also remember there was even an idea to limit when school districts could go to the voters to be able to ask for increased money.
Mm-hmm.
So protecting the voters from themselves, that one didn't get anywhere. But prior to the QEO, I would most research shows 7 to 9, almost 10% increase a year in total teacher compensation. And property taxes were also going up by that amount. So there were, many factors contributing to this really nice circumstance of the Republicans being this idea being, we finally have a model and a method to be able to rein in these costs and control them. And so if we look at this then into the future, today where this leaves us, some people say if we are able to increase teacher pay, we're going to get more people into the field.
Mm-hmm.
That's good basic economics, supply and demand. But we still have many more teachers in some areas applying than we have positions available. However, there are some that are definitely well below, you know, the demand is well above average. We need teachers and ELL and bilingual and school nurses and special needs. And yet what we do in education is all of those people, all of those positions are essentially considered as even, and they all come in at those pay scales. And anybody listening that works at a college or university knows that that's often not the way it is. Economics in universities, very attractive area, and they pay higher than, say, my area, teacher education. There's higher demand. So
yeah.
They do have more market forces outside of K-12, but they've always viewed that as a more cooperative enterprise. And they really haven't teased out those individual starting salary differences.
Right. And now the salaries, at least from some recent charts that I've looked at, show that Wisconsin teacher pay is more in the middle of the pack, but benefits are near the top of the list.
You're absolutely correct. Mm-hmm. And teacher benefits in Wisconsin are very generous. And now that also is with a lot of state employees.
Mm-hmm.
That's always been something that's been a feature of, you know, state employees. You might not get a lot of take-home money, but you have benefits. And certainly that is a feature. And anybody not inside the state system one way or another looks at that and either wishes they were
mm-hmm.
or wishes that their employer would be able to do the same thing. But the idea is that with this current QEO package, they factor in those increased benefit costs, and then that leaves much smaller amounts of room, as our very first caller said from Green Bay, to be able to pay for actual take-home salary increases.
But critics of the QEO, can they say that the QEO has resulted in fewer teachers, a quality of teacher that has gone down because teachers are not going into the field because of the pay?
Well, certainly they will say mm-hmm. that. Whether or not that's accurate, that's my hunch is that education is a very attractive field to be in. We still have, for quite a few positions, 12 or 15 general categories from social studies to elementary education to English, more people applying than there are positions available.
Mm-hmm.
And in other areas, like talked about just a little bit, you know, speech language pathologists, foreign language, we have more openings than we have people applying. So to just say that increased salaries will increase applicants and increase those other people wanting to come into the field, we don't really have the research to support that, and probably the evidence doesn't either. We also don't really know. We don't have very strong statistics as to, you know, how do we go out and attract these people. A lot of these positions that aren't there presently or aren't funded or aren't filled, there's emergency licenses. There's all kind of creative ways that districts are doing that. So probably raising the pay, starting teacher salaries are somewhere in the low 30s, more or less, in the state of Wisconsin. Raising teacher pay another $1,000 to $2,000 probably would not be enough of an incentive to be able to cause people to have a career change in and of itself to go into those fields.
To QEO or not to QEO, that is the question. We are wondering if the state should repeal the qualified economic offer, the law that allows school districts to avoid arbitration by offering teachers a yearly wage and benefit increase of at least 3.8%. Critics say the law has resulted in depressed teacher salaries and rising benefit costs. Supporters of the law say it puts some control on property tax increases. Our guest analyst is Steve Correa, Associate Professor of Teacher Education at St. Norbert College, and you can join in with your questions or opinions on the anticipated attempt to repeal the QEO next year. 1-800-642-1234. Or send an email to talk@wpr.org. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. You're listening to the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. Happy to have you with us. Hope you stay tuned. Coming up after 7 o'clock, we'll talk about the future of the electric car. with the big three CEOs before Congress again today, looking for some bailout money. They are all promising to make more electric cars. We'll talk with two guest analysts, experts, advocates of electric cars coming up after 7 o'clock. Right now, we're talking with Steve Correa, Associate Professor of Teacher Education at St. Norbert College, about the attempt in Wisconsin, once again, to repeal the QEO, the law that caps teacher pay in Wisconsin. Governor Doyle says he plans to ask the legislature to do this again next session, and this time he may get his way as Democrats are in control of the state assembly. Is this a good idea or not? To repeal this qualified economic offer, this law that limits teacher salaries in Wisconsin. 1-800-642-1234. We welcome your questions and your views, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Sarah in Eau Claire wants to know, Professor Correa, what would happen if the QEO is dropped and teachers go on strike? Teachers can't go on strike, can they?
Well, now, some of this would be how this would be worded within the repeal package, if we want to look at just repealing that QEO. But theoretically, if that entire QEO is repealed, then binding arbitration would be removed because they have to accept the 3.8% now. So, this all cards are on the table, all options are considered, and so certainly anybody that's ever been involved in collective bargaining, that has always been a very strong card to deal. And so, yes, that is one of those market forces that would be unleashed, so to speak, in this case. That has to be something that would be available to the teachers.
And it says, would, though, we get teachers who would be willing to work for less, is the follow-up.
Ooh, now that's another interesting question. I would imagine that they would not probably be very invited to a lot of WEAC Christmas parties and those kind of things. That's kind of like another issue.
Yeah.
I would have to say, yes, there are some. Of course, there are going to be some. But I would probably say the rank and file usually are pretty good at closing ranks, supporting, staying focused. And one might even argue that, of course, you could go both ways with this, but there might be some pent-up demand to be able to make this happen. But boy, being in a union is not popular nowadays. And I've been a former member of Teamsters, having worked at United Postal Service, and as a public school teacher, also in the NEA. And the climate has changed, and they've really been, I think, unfairly blamed for a lot of the problems. But I would think that the teachers' union they're probably going to have to re-educate their people. Though, look at all these new people that have been into that schools in the last 15 years. They've never experienced kind of labor strife. There's grumbling when the contract comes down, but boy, what are you going to do? And so, yeah, there'd be a whole education system that would have to take place, so to speak.
Our next caller is Rebecca in Crawford County. Good morning.
Hello. Let's see. This is a topic that really gets me going because my husband has been a school teacher for about 25 years, and we moved to Wisconsin because of the better pay. The state we moved from now, the starting pay is almost as much as my husband makes with a master's degree plus 25 years of experience. At this point, he's at the top of the pay scale, and I have paycheck stubs showing that our take-home pay is virtually unchanged since about 1994-95 because it all goes to health care. Health care is eating us alive. Meanwhile, my property taxes have increased 300% since we moved here in 1989. My husband, along with his other coworkers, they pay for stuff that, the school can't afford. He works in, has worked in negotiations. The school board members are wonderful. Everybody's trying their best, but the money just isn't there. We have a son who started teaching in the Milwaukee area. He's a great teacher. The kids love him. He doesn't know if he's going to be able to continue because he can't pay off his student loans. And he worked as a construction worker this summer, making more as an unskilled laborer than he does, as a trained professional. And, it's not a sustainable situation.
Talk about a personal perspective on this issue, Professor Correa.
Well, I'm very impressed with the ability to be able to go back and find that statistical information historically. I don't know that I could find my own. First, to start off with, Wisconsin schools are phenomenal. And I encourage anyone to go to another state schools and sit in for a while. It's not to say that they're bad, but Wisconsin schools are phenomenal. Unfortunately, what is likely going to happen in a lot of these cases is that when this wonderful teacher retires, there will be more people to go in and take that position. I sometimes joke with my colleagues that we should have arbitration between individual areas, you know, sort of like C.C. Sabathia with the Brewers. And, I'm special ed certified and I can do ELL. What are you going to offer me? But teachers don't do that. Teachers bargain collectively, so the whole group has to be able to do that. We don't have those options available. So market forces affect some of what teachers do, but not all of what teachers do. And boy, this caller just gives up the perfect example of the squeeze. She speaks so passionately about the demands economically to be able to be a committed teacher, but then she also accurately reflects the rise in her property taxes. This all deals with resources, the distribution of resources, and the control of that distribution. Teachers are in the middle. They both pay the property taxes and then receive the pay from that for a very rewarding, demanding career. And certainly what WEAC has tried to do is provide the political power for teachers to be able to have some leverage, some place in this decision-making. The QEO has decided what that leverage and what that process will be. The idea of the repeal of the QEO will then allow the teachers to be able to have more of an immediate role in deciding that on a year-to-year basis.
Yeah. Joan in Hubertus is with us now. Hi, Joan. You're on the air.
Hi. My daughter is fourth-year teacher at MPS in Spanish. She's double majored in Spanish and English, and she said, "Mom, people don't know that, but in Wisconsin since 1994, and I didn't know if this was the QEO law, she said the whole budgets have been kind of frozen and no new money comes into the schools." And she worked at James Madison, and there's mouse holes in the walls. You walk in there, you feel like you're walking into a prison. There's nothing for the, you know, and she spends her own money. And she has $30,000 of college debt, and she makes about $40,000 a year. So she's struggling to try to, you know, apply for a master's somewhere because she says that's the only way she can make more money. But she loves her kids, and she likes working for MPS. But she says, "I don't think people realize how the budgets have been affected." So was it the QEO that froze the budgets for almost everything in 94?
For the most part, yes, it has really, if you want to say, leveled the playing field or taken out the variability for local districts. And slowly, with increased costs and inflation and unfunded mandates and federal money was promised, for example, for special ed, and that money has not come through. Last year we had the spike in fuel costs. All of these things were not accounted for exactly within the original three-pronged formula. So districts have to do increased demands with similar number of students, because Wisconsin's overall population is increasing slowly, just it's shifting to where it goes, and so they've had to be able to move this money around. So there hasn't been the money for maintenance. They've deferred that. A mouse hole can be ignored.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that's right, but yes, she's exactly right. That is a result of some of this dating from 15 years ago.
Yeah. Thank you very much, Joan, for the call. Well, we only have a couple of minutes left here. Wisconsin is not unique when it comes to this particular situation, this teacher's salary versus cost of education question?
Oh, exactly. The Ohio governor, whose last name is Strickland, he is attempting to take this on in the new political season and deal with this. Minnesota, interestingly, requires 2% of each local district's budget to be able to go to teacher in-service, teacher training. They're looking at, gee, is that a good idea? Can we combine that money? Minnesota's looking at how they fund it. Now, even Australia is saying, how do we fund this? How do we deal with teachers? So put all of this in the context of what we all know has happened as retirement accounts have turned into vacation accounts. What are we going to do? And there's a wonderful opportunity here to be able to look at this system and maybe change it, or at least affect some positive change. And but this is a national issue. Goodness, California, how many billions of dollars are they in debt?
Mm-hmm.
So we really have some interesting forces all competing for these, you know, very limited resources.
Well, we will, I'm sure, talk with you again sometime about these issues and related issues. Thanks very much for being with us.
Oh, you're very welcome. Thank you.
Steve Correa, Associate Professor of Teacher Education at St. Norbert College. Thanks to Rob Ferret for producing this hour. Thanks to Bill Martins and to Cynthia Schuster for on-air production and direction. Thank you for listening and for calling in. If you'd like a CD copy of this or any of our talk shows, you can call the radio store, 1-800-747-7444. You can also go to our website to listen to programs archived on the website, wpr.org. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.